Crown Falls, everyone, where you never know what may go down. That was Byron Ricks on the Mountain Dulcimer, and I'm Maren Van Nostrand, and I'm really glad to see you all here. This is a fantastic crowd. My adrenaline's really rushing. You know, every new person that comes in the door, I'm like, yeah, fantastic group of people.
Yes.
It's a magical evening. I don't know if y'all saw the full moon last night, and this whole farm is just so beautiful at night. And then you look up at this glowing big longhouse kind of building, and you see the lights inside, and you can hear the sounds of the voices getting louder, and
sounds of the hail getting louder.
And you hear, you know, we heard the instruments warming up earlier this afternoon, and we knew it was going to be a special evening. Here is where we discover the creative performer in you. Many of the people who will be on stage and who have been on stage in previous performances just came right up out of the crowd and said they wanted to help. And the entire effort of Sound Falls is growing. We're very happy about that. We are broadcasting online. It's recorded and then put on our website, soundfalls.org. So if you know some people who wanted to be here tonight and they couldn't make it, let them know about that. So, Byron and I like to start out with a little singing, and last time it was a sort of a back-to-school theme, and it was getting kind of corny, Byron. And, you know, he asked me
These are the songs that made me.
Yeah, okay, so that's right. But I love those songs, and, you know, we all know them, and we try to find songs that we can all sing along with.
I'm sure we all know these.
So, I have to grab my book. Why don't you talk about this one coming up?
Oh, sure. Well, Maren grabs her book. I'll be speaking at length about something which is as follows. The great school songs of yesteryear. Yes. Oh, here she is.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you for arriving.
So, Byron and I are loving the history on this one. Around 1980, the Apple Maggot arrived in Washington, posing a serious economic threat to fruit growers around the state. In 1985, regulations aimed at preventing the spread of the apple maggot by artificial means were adopted, and signs were posted around the state by the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Transportation. There's people in this audience who have heard this one before. Our very good friends, I'm sorry, the Buhnhannold team, we're gonna torture you further. Seattle songwriter Mark Cohen made the words from the sign into a round called the Apple Maggot Quarantine Round, which is fortunately spreading more rapidly than the maggot. Ooh, yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Now, this is...
It's serious business, actually. You've got to think about this.
Song. This has classical... under and overtones, which I'll be doing both over and under the pitch. And it requires certainly of the men who sing this, and the women can have, I don't know what the altos do, but the classic man's pose is to get the baritone claw.
You can practice
going.
That.
A clutch claw going.
Would you like to pick the pitch for us?
No.
No?
But this is, I like to think of it, it seems like such a trivial piece, an ephemeral piece that would not have survived the test of time, which it has since 1980. And this, I like to think of it more as the Apple Maggot Quarantine aria. Not area, but aria. It's more, it just, you know, it's going to live on.
We're going to do this in a round. So people on that side?
Not yet.
Byron will tell you when to come in. People
not
on this
so
side? Maren will tell you when to come in. Ready? But not yet. We're going to teach it to you. Apple maggot quarantine area. Please don't transport homegrown fruit.
Homegrown
apple maggot quarantine area. Please don't transport
homegrown fruit.
And if you really want to be make an R, you know, you can roll your R. Aria, fruit. And you can add the operatic. Okay, here we go. I'll start. Here we go. One, two, ready, go. Apple maggot quarantine area. Please don't transport homegrown fruit. Apple maggot quarantine area. Please don't transport homegrown fruit.
Homegrown fruit.
Hey, that was great! Applause! So now this next one. Oh wait, I don't know if I want to do this. Okay, wait. We can blame. Okay, the Beans. We just made you suffer through the last one because you've heard us do that one before. Now we can blame you for this one. I found it in your collection of music, Bob Bune. What, Kieran?
Yes.
Oh, G.
G.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's right. That's
what we did.
That's a nice key. Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is not a stupid song. This is a meaningful song.
Oh, bear with us, please. He loves it.
This is a meaningful song. Listen, this is one of those songs that touches you when you listen to the words. You need to know the words. Take them in. Turn them around. Whisper one to your neighbor there in the seats. It's that kind of piece.
You have to listen to the words, though. Listen carefully.
The claw.
Please forgive me for doing this to you. Okay, here we go. Oh, a barefoot boy with shoes on came walking down the street. His hands were full of pockets and his shoes were full of feet. He was an only child, you know, his mother's pride and joy. His only sister was a girl, his brother was a boy. The pauses are me remembering what's going on here. Okay. He was married to a woman who soon became his wife. She weighed 460, was skinny all her life. They had 100 children, I knew them all quite well. His sisters all went to heaven, and his brothers all went out west. This is a special season. 'Tis the season to be jolly. And there's been something kind of...
It's a season to be shopping?
It's a season to be catch a cold.
That's a season for that.
It's a season of the amoeba. To get broke. But it's actually a season of good cheer, and I've been thinking about this question of small town friendliness. And you know, whether or not when you're passing someone on the street, like Incarnation, do you say hello? And it just bothers me to pass someone and they don't say hello. It just really bothers me, you know? And but then again, if you're in the city, you know, and you're saying hello to everybody, it's impossible. You know, hello, 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 hi. You know, you go crazy. And then there's in the suburbs, you know, you just don't know. But Incarnation, I really think it's good manners to say hello. All of you who think it's good manners in a small town to say hello to someone you're passing. Okay, let's start a movement.
Hello.
When passing someone, Incarnation, say
hello.
You could even go out of your way and say, how are you? Or good to see you. I hope you have a good day. And just imagine how we would just feel better in this town, even better than we already do.
Conversation starters are often difficult. However, this one is always a surefire way to get things going. Hello. Does your car have leaf springs or struts? These kinds of things often... these kinds of things often generate conversations that go in directions that you don't expect. So use them early and use them often. Back to you, Marin.
Well, actually, I really want to get on to tonight's entertainment, but something happened to us in Montana, and I'll try to keep this short, but this was in the early 90s, and Byron and I were traveling through Montana in a rental car with a bunch of friends who had gotten this job on a ranch, and we were really excited to be in Montana. It was just beautiful country, so we went for a drive, and we got lost in our conversation and realized pretty soon we had come to a dead end and we had no idea where we were. So, but we didn't panic. Little did we know how rough off it was for us at that time, but we were at this spot in the road, and as we were turning around, I looked up at this house that was out in the middle of nowhere, and I saw a strange thing stuck between the siding of the house and the roof. And I was staring at that like, what is that? We can't go anywhere until I figure out what that is. And somebody said, I don't know, Martin, we got to go in. I think it's a chicken. Oh, whatever, Martin. It's a chicken that's stuck up there. And as we drove away, I'm like, I think it was a chicken up there. So anyway, along comes this powder blue truck barreling up right against our bumper. And it was, you know, the rounded wheel wells, and it was really, the road is getting really rough, and you could hear that. It was just like, I feel like I was in a movie, like, what is that person doing? And we all sort of wondered, well, maybe we should pull over. And I was thinking, oh no, something bad's gonna happen. And so, well, we pulled over, and they did too, and we thought, oh no. And so a guy gets out of the car, and he walks up to the side, and he was the tallest man I'd ever seen, and so my knees started to shake. He was like 7 feet tall, and his arms came down like past his knees, practically. I mean, that was my dramatic memory of it. And he was like this. And I'm like, he said something. He said, what do you think you're doing? And then he took one of those arms, and he went like this. And he scratched his ears. And I'm like, oh, I was starting to shake. And I just said, well, we could have swore that was a chicken back there. And he goes, you know, I was just nervous. I mean, why would I tell him that? I don't know. And he took the other arm and he went, what? Chickens? You're talking about chickens, lady, and you got a flat tire. And we were like, oh. And everybody like did this, you know, slamming their hands to their foreheads, and I was embarrassed, and I'm glad I broke the ice with that, because that gave him a chance to tell us his story. And so here he was, you know, he had chased us down to help us. He said, well, I thought you guys were trying to get my attention, you know, sitting there in front of my house staring at it forever, and then you were laughing like waiting for me to come out of the house, and then finally I did and you drove away, you know. I'm trying to help you guys. And it was a weird combination of this small town friendliness, you know, that was like ranch friendliness, to have somebody get in their car and chase you down, you know. So that was a big lesson for me, but he actually stayed and helped us change that tire, and we got to know him, and it was really fun. And I'm sure to this day, you know, I still tell the chicken story of the guy with the long arms, but I know his version is going to be something like, you know, I ran into these urban chicken watchers. And they had no idea what was going on. Anyway, that's my small town friendliness story for the evening, and I hope you enjoyed it. All right.
I think he needed to know whether we had springs or struts on the car.
Yeah, he really wanted to know about our car. It was a rental. So what we're going to do is get the, we have a little ad for you, and then the Cascade Community Theater Group can come up and start adjusting for their show.
Todd, why don't you, I need something like with a holiday flair.
Holiday.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's about right. Maybe like a... They got crank that Korg up. It's like I'm on a merry-go-round. Let's try. Give me a. I want more defined tones. I think they could be in the right mood for this sad activity. I need more. I mean, you know how to... The days might be getting shorter and likewise your tempers as the holidays near. However, why not grab a saw and take all those temper flares out here at Carnation Tree Farm? That's right, right around you, surrounding this 100-year historic barn, are trees for the holidays. Our proprietor, Roger Thorson, is sitting with us tonight, and he's making me do that. No, I'm just kidding. And he and his family started this farm back in, 1907. The house was built, and this barn is 100 years old. I think maybe 101 now, as of last year. So kind of look around. There's an owl that lives behind us, in case you're wondering. And if you come for trees, that owl will be flapping about. So why not keep it up? Round again. Why not come on back with your saw, with an attitude, get the tromp through the mud and the sun, hopefully, and get a tree here. Take it home on top of your car, and you can pick live trees as well, potentially, this year. So Roger does a great job. It's fun to be here in the barn, and thanks to him at this time for hosting the show. So, all the theater folks, we're going to try to clear this off. Break a leg and don't mention the name of the Scottish play.
Let's give the Cascade Theater Company a big round of applause. We've got Doug Pogue. Yeah. We also have several other artists here this evening. These are our young artists for the evening, and we're super happy to have quite a team of them. Kelly Billington, Kobe Edwards, Chase Christensen, Marcus Wolf, Mary Ward, Amy Chandler, Lee Henderson, Carter Atkins, and Davin Henriksen.
All right, we want to thank everyone for allowing us to come and give you a little preview of the show that we're putting together for Cascade Community Theater's winter production. It is A Christmas Story. So if you remember back in the 80s, that show that many people have made into a cult feature every Christmas, I heard one guy, the guy who's our technical director, Richard Greenfield, who's playing Santa for us at the real show, but you have to come see him. He says every year they put that up on the wall and they watch that movie over and over and over while they put up their Christmas tree and decorate their house. So I actually think the play is better than the movie because movies back in the 80s were kind of interesting and a little slow. But tonight we're going to give you a couple of snippets from the show. Of course, the Christmas story is about Ralph Parker. Ralph, where are you? Here's Ralphie. And Ralphie... Ralphie is on a quest for one thing and one thing only. What is that?
A BB gun.
What kind of BB gun?
A Red Ryder twin-shot carbine action range mount rifle with a compass and single-shell scimitar right into the stock.
All right. So come see Ralphie on his quest. And the rest of his family is missing tonight, so you have to come to the play to see that. But we have a scene about some of our favorite scenes, the Farkas bully scene. This is Farkas, the town bully, and his little brother, Bus. And then we have Flick and the flagpole scene, which is a famous scene. And then another local is Miss Shields over here. She's our teacher. She actually is a teacher up in North Bend, but we're going to see what happens when Flick is missing. So here is Cascade Community Theater and some snippets from A Christmas Story.
At one time or another, Farkas had given every kid in class a good, brisk, tendon-snapping arm twist. He gave us this reminder on a regular basis. We think he kept a list and marked us off in turn. Flick, though, seemed to catch it more than any of the rest of us.
Ow! 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 That's my sore arm!
Flick's arm was always sore. It never had enough healing time in between sessions with Farkas.
Ow! Ow!
Fortunately, Flick was left-handed.
Say, I'm a dirty little chicken.
Say it!
I'm a dirty little chicken!
What?
I'm a dirty little chicken!
Louder!
He said say it louder!
I'm a dirty little chicken!
Fly away, little chicken!
See what I mean about Punjab? Whew. Bully problem solved. Flick has really, really bad luck, but I think he was cursed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Every day, we got together in one corner of the playground by a pole and discussed the deep philosophers and exchanged information on the latest scientific research.
All right, then. If you don't believe me, I don't dare.
The actual nuance of the dare process was very, very important.
So you're saying, if I put my tongue this flagpole, it'll sit?
Yeah.
That's dumb, it wouldn't happen.
Go ahead, prove I'm wrong. Come on, Flip, do it.
That's dumb, it wouldn't happen.
That's because you know stick.
Would not.
Would too.
Would not.
All right, then, I double dog dare.
Oh, this was getting serious. A double dog dare. The only thing left was a triple dare, and then the coup de grace, the triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare ya!
Oh. Schwartz showed a little bit of stepping out of the sequence here by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
Do it, Flick.
I'm going.
Well, no, I'm sporting pants and do it!
I have my sore arm. Don't rush me!
Flick arched his spine. His lips curled in a defiant sneer. His tongue moved into docking mode and made for consummation.
The end is it's not!
It's not! It really works!
By the bell. It told us when to come in, when to go to recess, when to go home. It was a god that we could not deny.
Nora does not want to be a doll wife and tells Helmer. Helmer promises to change, but she says that would take miracles, and she doesn't believe in miracles anymore. At the end, Helmer realizes how empty his house would be. Ibsen was a very good writer, and Doll's House was a very good book. I enjoyed it very much.
That was a fine book report, Helen.
Thank you, Miss Shields.
Helen was a woman ahead of her time. She had a science fair project in the third grade that three scientists are still trying to figure out. Us boys, though, we had great respect for her. She'd shown on more than one occasion she could beat us up.
Now let's see who's next. Ralph, could you please read... Where's Flick?
Uh-oh.
Has anyone seen Flick?
Flick who?
He was here before recess. Ralph, have you seen Flick? For the last time, has anyone seen Flick? Yes, Esther Jane? Oh dear, you stay right here.
Hi, Rocky.
Oh, my goodness!
Flick drew quite a crowd. First Miss Shields, then the principal, then the fire department and two police cars. Someone even called the power company. They all stood around coming up with theories, but finally, they stood behind him, grabbed his shoulders, and pulled.
Ah!
Freedom has its price.
Unfortunately, he won't say who. But those who did it know their blame, and I'm sure the guilt they feel is far worse than any punishment they might receive. So whoever you are, don't you feel terrible? Don't you feel remorse for what you've done? Well, that's all I'm going to say. Flip?
Full on.
You're welcome, Peter. Now sit down. Class dismissed.
Cascade Community Theater has been around since 2003. And they've been doing amazing things. I just have to tell you about this. Doug Pogue is the current director of Cascade Community Theater. It says, our history is a story of vision and hardworking volunteers, and our future is limited only by our imagination and energy. As you read this, amazing things are happening. We take tremendous pride in the level of entertainment we bring to the Snoqualmie Valley. And strive to make every production even better than the last. You may have heard of the two most recent performances, An Ideal Husband, that was December of 2007, and it was followed in March of 2008 with The Odd Couple. How many of you saw those? Okay, a few of you. So let's get on out there and support that group. That was fantastic. Thanks again, everybody. Thank you, Doug, for bringing the kids here. Yeah, good effort. So this is the season where I think the bees are hibernating, is that right? And the flooding season is coming on. Now, flooding is a natural process. Do you all understand that? Flooding is a natural process. I just want you to be aware of that. It's when our houses are built and that water comes our way where it really creates some serious damage. And this valley is really getting to know that situation quite well. Well, we have Todd Powell here with his vision and views on that situation.
You hear me okay? Well, that's right, it's the rainy season again. I know what you're thinking. Wasn't that June? But it's official now. The rain comes down in sheets. Sometimes it comes down in duvet covers. And if you've lived in this valley long enough, you know what happens to that river. Water starts to rise, overflows its banks. And you're stuck. I can't cross the valley because of the flood. Said I can't cross the valley because of the flood. Everything is floating, including the mud. Look at all that water. Look at that crud. I can't cross the valley because of the flood. And maybe you wanted to get to the big city. Go to Target. Or you wanted to find it at Freddy's, whatever it is you lost. Or go to Everything Party, because you like confetti. Gotta do some business down on Redmond Way. Said I gotta do some business down on Redmond Way. But that flood won't be leaving, it's here to stay. Guess I'll sit in Duval for the rest of the day. Forget about my business down on Redmond Way. But maybe you don't mind so much staying at home. You can just roll out of bed and put on your favorite slippers. a pot of coffee. And it could be you work in the high-tech sector. All those bits and bytes. If-then loops. All the flotsam and jetsam of a pixelated world. Heck, they even have clouds now. But you know what clouds bring? Here at my computer, I'll just telecommute. Here at my computer, I'll just telecommute. I'd rather wear pajamas than meet with the suits. That's the way I like it. There ain't no dispute. Here at my computer while I telecommute. But maybe sometime around 11 a.m., you decide to knock off work because you can. And if you're from the North Country like I am, which is Duval, maybe you want to head south to Carnation. Exchange some recipes. Or it could be you're a member of a book club. And you just bought the book and it has a nice white sticker on front that tells you how good it is. And on the back it talks about the main character and how she has 32 different addictions and she was born in an orphanage and, well, it's a redeeming story. So you get in your car and you head south. And just when you get to the outskirts of town, you see floating in front of you about 15 different giant marshmallow-shaped bales of hay. I drive to Carnation just to see some friends. Said I drive to Carnation just to see some friends. Whether I could get there, it really does depend. Maybe that's the way that the world will end. Drive into Carnation just to see some friends. So you turn around, drive back home and flip on the news. Because they've been covering the flood. All their camera crews have been down by the roundabout. And wouldn't you know it, but, you know, the national news decides to pick up the local feed. And you happen to know somebody who lives in Oklahoma or Massachusetts or Minnesota. And they call you up and they say, "I heard about the flood. How you doing? I can't cross the valley because of the flood." Said I can't cross the valley because of the flood. Everything is floating, including the mud. Look at all that water. Look at the crud. I can't cross the valley because of the flood. Comes more rain.
Well, as we get set up here, you know, one thing, and Martin mentioned it initially, one of the things that kind of spawned Soundfalls here is the realization that a lot of, in fact, maybe all or a lot, a high percentage of creativity really happens at home. or in your own living room, or in common spaces, or, you know, software in these parts was written at Burgermaster on a napkin in the old days. Dvorak would stroll about the fields of Iowa when he was here one summer in the 1890s and compose the American quartets on his shirt cuffs. It can happen anywhere. And that's really one of the things we wanted to highlight here. Todd, certainly, and Stacy, who's coming up, they work on pieces all the time, and it's just in their house. You go to their house, and it's just a wonderfully musical home. There's some mics set up. There's a couple guitars out, a couple keyboards. Ready?
So this song is called Honey Bees, and I'd like to shout out to my neighbor, Kelly, whose brother kept a couple of beehives on my property this for the last year, and it was a wonderful experience. I learned all about honeybees and how amazing they really are. So they inspired this song.
Won't you please, honey bee, won't you be my baby? I feel my heart abuzz each time you hold my hand. I know it would be bliss to taste your sweet honey kisses. Honey, please, won't you be my man? Down the road a ways and just around the bend, there's a pretty little meadow where the wildflowers grow. Their perfume in the air, dressed in their Sunday best, dancing in the summer breeze and putting on a show. I hear the gentle hum from every direction. See the honeybees as they go on their way. The soft blooms of summer draw them in like a lover. A fickle, fleeting romance, but it just won't make them stay. Won't you please, honey bee, won't you be my baby? I feel my heart a buzz each time you hold my hand. I know it would be bliss to taste your sweet honey kisses. Honey, please, won't you be my man? See you smile at me and everything stands still. A ray of sunshine when the rain is through. I'd move in closer, but I'm rooted to the ground. I guess I'll have to leave it up to you. Won't you take my hand and whisper in my ear? Say that you were hoping that we'd meet. This budding love might fade with every passing day. It may not last, but oh, it will. be sweet. Won't you please, honeybee, won't you be my baby? I feel my heart abuzz each time you hold my hand. I know it would be bliss to taste your sweet honey kisses. Honey, please, won't you be my man? Honey, please, won't you be my man?
I bet you didn't know Byron also played the trumpet.
That was great, Stacy. Thank you. It was totally cool. You know, we just showed up at their house one day, and it's like, I got a song about bees I wrote. Let's hear it. Love that moment. Yeah. Well, if the days are seeming a little short to you, it may be because your bangs are just too long. Why not come on down to Valley Mullet Works, where they can do a job on the front and let the back go. That's right, they believe the amount of hair in the universe is a constant. By keeping the front short and the back long, all day, all night, no matter what time of the year. You know, every few months, as many of you do, go down to the library. We have a librarian with us tonight. I won't tell you. I won't tell you where she is. She's right here, and she loves being there. She is. She's just excited that I talk about library books, because library is a great thing. And these are just some of the top things they've been having checked out. You can hardly get them, but put them on the wait list for yourself. And you won't be disappointed. Some of these have been on the list a time or two, but not many. There's some new ones in here. The all-time top one here is pretty interesting to me, not surprising, given the events of the day. It's called Octopi Seattle, Exploring the Undersea Home of the Pacific Grand Octopus. Octopi Seattle. It's right there at the library. But that's the one you have to be on the list for. It's pretty long. The Sense of Blunder, beautiful. I needed that, thank you. The Sense of Blunder and Other Debate Strategies of Rick Perry. There's Eat, Germ, Steal, and Pray, which is an interesting compilation. The Seven Wonders of Spanaway is a big hit out there. And this one on the musical side, is always good to hear some music books are out there, scholarly works. This is Major Works in Minor Keys. And on the literary side, The Reader's Companion to Companionship. It's kind of all about what things are about like that. Are these upside down, Gia? Oh, yes. Dental Hygiene, Theory and Practice. It's a good one. A Lesson Before Frying, a cookbook, along with Fondues and Fondon'ts. It's a big, especially as we hunker down in the winter and when I feel like a little fire on the table, good to know what to do and not to do there. And then Bark, Canoes, Bark. It's a heartwarming story for children about canoeists and their dogs. Birch bark canoes. So I'm mixing up the noun and the verb. It's kind of funny. This is one that has been on before. The Odds Are Good, But the Goods Are Odd, A Guide to Alaska Men. Go up there. I don't know if anybody's from Alaska. I've been there myself. 10 Mysteries of... And then we have Lions, Tigers, and Bears, Three Mothers, and Their Child Bassoon-Playing Prodigies. Wouldn't expect that one, would you? I'm busy, especially this time of year, and this is one that I'm on the list for already. It's called the 10-stage, 10-step guide to getting rid of your to-do list. And if you step through this every day, you can rid yourself of that list. The impotence of proofreading. Impotence of proofreading. Natural history, we have Upschist Creek, geology of the North Cascades. Upschist Creek, that's what the pronunciation there. And of course the blockbuster, I haven't even read this yet because it's always on the list, and I don't know if any of you have either, but it's the self-help book, You Can Refuse to Change Your Life. Thank you very much. That's our book list for tonight. Sponsored by the Valley Mullet Works. You can make an appointment today or just mull it over.
Thank you, Byron. If you can believe it, I don't know what those books are going to be before he comes up here and reads them.
And if you can believe it, I don't know.
He doesn't know either. Where are you all? There's an angle. I would like to introduce a very special man and his son, Bob and Kai Biu. Now hold your applause, but they can come on up. These men are true Northwesterners. They are capable of filling a canoe with all sorts of wonderful items like Dutch ovens, guitars, fantastic down sleeping bags, things you wouldn't expect in the Northwest on the ocean coast, and paddling for hours and hours, and then when, upon seeing a crab, reach down, of course in season, reach down, grab it, crack it open on the side of the canoe, and find a shore close by, and boil it up right away, and there you've got fresh crab. Then pull out their guitar and sing along. And we have had the privilege of being a part of the lives of these two guys and their families. Malon Hanold, Bob's wife, is here, Gerda, and have really enjoyed these outdoor moments with them, with live music in the acoustical outdoors, the wild sounds of ocean surf, guitar, and voices. So tonight, he will not be using a microphone because he's not used to it. He's used to the outdoors. He's used to open theater like this. And I'm going to ask him to come on up wherever he's comfortable. And let's give the two men a round of applause. Kai and the old guy from Hakai.
Oh. Okay. We've got the lights. Let's go.
Dad, maybe, before we start, I just wanted to... I almost wore this same hat tonight, so we got lucky.
Songs for you tonight, and one of them we're going to repeat at the end of the show, so I'll tell you about that in a little bit. The first two songs are sea songs, and the first one of those comes from Liam Clancy and Tommy Makem. The Clancy brothers were going strong about 50 years ago, and if you're old enough, you would remember them, but by 1980, they had pretty much broken up, and who was left was the two of them. Liam Clancy and Tommy Makem. And they lasted until just a couple years ago. They're both gone now, but they sang for a long time together. So in about 1981, they made a beautiful record called the Makem and Clancy Collection. So this song is from that collection, and it's called Morning Glory. So we'll start with that, okay, go ahead.
Every time we do downfalls, I get to learn new songs, so I'm sorry I have to make sure I don't have this.
I'm just going to let you hold my glasses now. I can't see these things with those arms.
One for the morning glory, two for the early dew, three for the night. landlord's daughters fair. And every night when they put out the light, I would tiptoe up the stairs, singing a one for the morning glory, two for the early dew, three for the man who sent his round, and four for the love of you, the girl, four for the love of you. Well, I got the call from foreign shores to go and fight the foe, and I thought no more of the sisters four, but still I was sad to go. So I sailed away on a ship, the Morning Glory was her name, and we all fall down when the rum went round, and we get up and start again, singing a one for the Morning Glory, two for the early dew, three for the man who sent his round, and four for the love of you, big girl, four for the love of you.
Answer our plea.
in the town, in the street that runs down to the sea and the harbor wall. They gathered in pairs at the foot of the stairs to wait for the radio call. And just before dawn, when all hope had gone, came a hush and a faraway sound. 'Twas the coxswain, he roared, all survivors on board.
Someone
All right, so we're going to save those little pieces of paper, and we're going to do a reprise at the end. So we do have an intermission, but I want to tell you, it'll be fairly brief.
He's here. Feldspar's here.
Oh, so the kids for sure have to stick around, but we've got a guy, he shows up out of nowhere. Just you wait. He's up there? Okay. All right, so you can't miss this. Feldspar, and he's usually got the mat that's more than that along with him. So don't miss that. And also, for you parents who have your kids here, and all of you, I don't know how many of you have heard a concert with cello and accordion together, but stick around for that. We have some amazing sounds. This is an incredible opportunity for some real culture here in Snoqualmie Valley.